Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
None of you will believe me. I spent the last 5 years in a hospital with everyone telling me I couldn't possibly have seen what I saw. Maybe I didn't. That's why I'm writing down what I think I saw. My new therapist says that writing this out might be good for me. I like my new therapist. They've made me feel human again. They made me realize it wasn't my fault. Whatever it was. Maybe, once I've written it out, I can figure out what really happened. Obviously, I'm changing names for people's privacy and my own protection. Some people still believe I had something to do with what happened. It was a camping trip. Some old friends of mine from high school and I were all avid campers. We aren't super hardcore or anything. We just enjoy a few days in tents, around a fire, with beer and other substances, catching fish, cooking hot dogs, and pretending to be survivalists. Most of us were out of college and starting careers. One of us was working on a doctorate. First, there was James and his girlfriend, Dora. He was my oldest friend. We'd been pals since middle school. Of all of us, he was the one with actual camping experience. He'd been an Eagle Scout and was applying for jobs as a forest ranger. He was the one who got this trip together. There was Edgar. He was never the brightest, but he was a good friend to us. He'd been a bit of a jock meathead in high school. When we met him again, he had a well-paying job, a wife and a daughter. We all laughed about that, since we used to tease him for being a doofus, and there he was with money and a loving family already. Then, there was Caitlin, the girl who laughed at everything. She'd joined our little circle of friends after a bad breakup in high school. We'd all had a huge crush on her and hoped to be a rebound fling, but she just wasn't into us like that. Thankfully, we all stayed friends. Somehow, we valued a friendship more than romance. That's rare among teenagers. She had a wicked and dark sense of humor that we all loved. She brought a boyfriend along, who wasn't a bad guy. Linus, I think his name was. We weren't sure Chloe was going to make it, what with her intensive coursework, but she showed up with a wide smile all the same. She and James had dated once upon a time. The breakup happened at college. It was rough on all of us, but the pair of them insisted it was in the past. She was always the smart one. She was the one working on a doctorate. There's no doubt in my mind she could have her own medical practice. She was hardworking and determined. Finally, there was me, the starving artist wannabe, still living with his parents. We were all so happy to see each other. I'm sure anyone old enough knows that feeling, that mix of nostalgia and excitement for something new, all at once when you see your old friends again. We all made time and flew to Colorado, where James was living. He said he knew a great spot for us, somewhere in the mountain range around Pikes Peak. So we all met up in Colorado Springs and hung out at a hotel. We had so much fun. Laughing, drinking, pushing each other into the hotel pool like a bunch of idiots. "Do we even need to go camping?" asked Edgar at one point. I actually agreed, but James insisted. "Come on, everyone, for old time's sake, let's go on a mountain adventure. I promise, I've been all over Pikes Peak, and I found this great spot. It's slightly off the beaten path, but not anywhere dangerous, I promise." So, the next day, we gathered all our old gear and drove to the lot of the National Preserve. For a day, we hiked, we climbed, and we laughed. It really was like old times. I was glad we gave in. The mountains of Colorado were just so gorgeous. Pikes Peak itself was this majestic, jagged white spike looking over us. We weren't hiking all the way up, thankfully. James led us from one trail to the next, before taking us a mile or two off course. We emerged in this beautiful little clearing. It was this flat little divot on the mountain surface. The peak above us sloped at least a 45 degree angle above us. There was a strange rock formation hundreds of feet up. It almost appeared to be a sort of tube-shaped mound, jutting out at the top. We soon discovered that at a certain time of day, this almost overhang blocked the sun and cast the whole area in a comfortable shade. Our view from that spot was nothing short of spectacular. We were hundreds of feet up and could see picturesque forests, mountains, and even a bit of desert to the south. We set up our camp. We cooked, we drank, we smoked, and we played all sorts of party games. Mostly we just dared each other to share about our love lives and such. Me and Chloe were the only ones without. I was shocked at that. How could a pretty girl like Chloe be single? She and I started chatting. It went so well. You know when you're talking with someone you might be slightly attracted to, and it's just so perfect? You laugh at her jokes, she laughs at yours. There's lingering eye contact, and soon some light flirty banter is exchanged. It was one of those. I was stoned out of my mind, and she was tipsy, so we were both careful. At some point, everyone had retreated to their tents. Most of them were passed out drunk. Soon, it was just me and Chloe by the fire. You'll get something published. I love the stories you submitted to Royal College magazine. You read my stories? Yeah, I love scary stories. You know that. Hopefully I can get paid more for them soon. Give it time. Then she shocked the hell out of me by leaning in and kissing me right on the cheek. I looked at her, likely with a wide-eyed, dopey grin on my face. She winked at me. We should talk more later. I swear she got up in a suggestive manner. She almost strutted into a tent. At least until she drunkenly stumbled and almost fell. She laughed and slipped out of sight, while I sat there, content and excited for the future. Once the fire died down, I stood up and stepped towards my tent, but decided I should pee first, so I stepped to the side, towards some trees. Then, I heard the noise. It was like thunder. It came all at once, like 1 second, it was just the noises of the forest. The next, this deafening roar of sound came from somewhere above us. I fell on my ass, trying to figure out what in the ever-loving hell was going on. I got my high-powered flashlight out and pointed it up, and I couldn't understand what I saw. The first thing I noticed was that the mound, or overhang, was gone. All that remained was a trail of something that the light of my flashlight bounced off, like a slime trail or something. I followed the trail down and spotted the dust rising. The noise was getting louder. I pointed my light at where I thought it was coming from. I found the mound, halfway down the slope and sliding towards us. But something was wrong. There was a cave or something on the front of it. As I watched, I realized the way it was sliding. Something wasn't right. You'd think if it were an avalanche, it would look like a bunch of rocks sliding down a slope. But it was just the one mound, and it seemed to defy physics. Despite the fact that it should have built up a massive amount of fiery friction by doing so, it actually accelerated the farther it went. As I watched, the tube-shaped mound bent itself in ways no rock possibly could. It almost looked like a fish swimming. It wasn't even sliding in a straight line. It was course-correcting as it went. When it finally hit the bottom of the hill, its momentum carried it right into our camp. All 5 tents, our coolers, some young trees, our fire pit, embers and all a bunch of dirt vanished into the cave at the front. Then, another impossible thing happened. The tube-shaped rock mound opened up flipper-like flaps and smashed them into the dirt, grinding itself into a halt just past where our campsite had been. Only about 20 seconds had elapsed since I first heard the thunderous sound. I got to my feet, pointed my light at our camp, and tried to make sense of what just happened. I ran my light up the stone. and I saw it move. It almost pulsed. It wasn't a rock at all. I was looking at scales. Scales with rocky, sand-like growth on them, like the bumpy skin of a reptile or one of those fish that hides in the sand and looks like sand. The more I looked, the more it looked like a massive, bottom-feeding fish. It was long, maybe 40 or 50 feet. Most of that was a long, tubular tail that ended in a whale-like fluke, but rather than fins, the tail was a pair of gnarly-looking hooks. The long tail led to a huge round body that was at least 9 feet tall at its highest point. The thing was flat on the bottom, but I noticed ridges like those on the belly of some snakes. From my angle, it looked like a massive headless seal. I snapped out of my stupor when I heard the screams. My friends, it ain't my friends. I could hear them all. James, Dora, Edgar, Caitlin, Linus and Chloe. They were all still in their tents, in the mouth of this thing. I heard the screams of terror and confusion. Is anyone there? What happened? Oh my God. Someone, help! My leg! Where are we? The beast shifted position. It lifted up its front. I had to assume that was its head, and the large round section in front of it started compressing inwards. The screams of my friends suddenly intensified, but simultaneously became more muffled. Then came that sound. The sound that's haunted my nightmares each and every night for the last 5 years. The sound that keeps me feeling sick even when I'm awake. This horrible crunch. The crunch of tents, plastic, trees, dirt, and six human lives all being crushed into paste in an instant. The scream stopped abruptly when that crunch occurred. Six people dead. By this time, only about a minute had elapsed since I first heard the thing sliding towards us. My brain still hadn't caught up, not until I saw this thing's body ripple as it presumably swallowed up everything. Did it all make sense? Then I started screaming, crying, doing whatever I could to express my defiance at the last few moments. My screams alerted the beast. It stiffened. Then, using its massive tail, it flopped like a fish, turning itself to face me. I saw its face for the first time. It was otherworldly. Its head was round and looked pale when highlighted by my flashlight. I could barely see the tiny little eyes on the side of its head. I only knew they were there because they reflected the light back at me. Aside from this, it looked featureless, save for its awful mouth. It sported oversized black lips that formed a disturbingly human smile. It fixed its little eyes on me. Then that smile parted, revealing teeth like stalagmites in a cave. A bit of gore dribbled from between them. A bit of my friends. Its mouth then sort of popped open. It was impossibly wide. The entire front of the creature expanded to create this 10x10 gaping hole, lined with drool and reddish paste from its recent meal. The bottom row of its teeth faced outward towards me, like a line of spikes, while the top ones hung down like you might expect. Some sort of rumbling sound emerged from somewhere within. I couldn't tell if it was a growl, a frog-like croak, or a belch. Either way, its breath was pungent and sour. At that point, I ran. I don't remember much after that. By some miracle, I ran towards civilization. I ended up tripping and breaking my leg at some point, but by then, I'd run through several campsites and caused quite the commotion. They supposedly had to use sedatives before they could strap me into the gurney and airlift me to the hospital. That period is a bit of a haze. Police, friends, park rangers, and the occasional reporter came to ask me questions. I barely remember any of that. I guess I was still traumatized into incoherence. the local papers told the story of, quote, the tragedy near Pike Mountain. They blamed James. They painted him as an arrogant wannabe ranger who thought he knew better than professionals. He was working to be a professional and brought his friends to a dangerous part of the mountain where avalanches were likely to happen. Supposedly, the only trace of a campsite they found were a few spikes we used to nail the tents down. The rangers did claim they found evidence of an avalanche. It was clear some of them were skeptical. There's some rockfall at the site, but I don't understand why we can't find anything. No bodies, no garbage. It's like they disappeared. Unfortunately, that's basically where it stopped for them. Mysterious disappearances were common in national parks. This was another day at the office for them. For a year or so, Edgar's widow pushed them to keep looking, and for a while, she was convinced I had done something to her husband and my friends. That part hurt the most. I got a little lucky. My co-worker came to see me in the hospital. He took one look at me and immediately began speaking up for me. You can't fake trauma like that, he told police and reporters. He absolutely witnessed something. That look in his eyes, you only see that in soldiers, victims and survivors. I'm a war vet. I've seen that look before. That guy, Marty, was an angel of my soldier for those 4 years. Slowly, I recovered. I got back outside. I started working. Marty was with me all along. We're actually dating now. He's the only one that believes I saw something up there. I don't know anymore if what I saw was real. It sounds too absurd. A mountain-dwelling whale that hunts by sliding down the slopes? How would it climb back up? What else could it eat? How could it survive? How could it hide? There's no way nature crafted a creature like that. Is there? But my memories are so vivid. I'll never forget that black smile, or the screaming as it swallowed up my whole past. I've got a new life ahead of me now. I'm hopeful. Maybe it really was just an avalanche. But there's things out there that people may not have found. There's places where things other than humans have carved out an existence. Places where we don't belong. Sometimes we venture into these places and bad things happen. Sometimes those things may just venture close to ours. Be careful out there. The unknown will always be stronger than we are. More importantly, don't let old friends get too far away. Sometimes you forget just how precious they were.
Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo
und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.